to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 148. Okay, the Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who almost did this episode shirtless, John Bernstein.
Hey, I was busy with technical difficulties.
You almost did this show shirtless.
Yay.
Anyway, this week we're talking about jealousy and DS relationships. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education. Show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, lovingds1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm. All links are in the show notes.
You're such a hater.
Hate that handle. Oh my gosh, I hate that handle. I know, for anybody who's new to this level of hatred, I can't fix it. I tried to get all iterations of Loving BDSM that would make me happy, and Instagram is like really tight-assed about that kind of shit. Like, they just...
I have something for that.
Don't we all? I keep plenty of lube on hand just for that. Thank you very much. No announcements this week. Mostly because I'm a little bit low energy and a lot brain dead, and so I'm just not even gonna.
It's been happening a lot lately.
I know. I'm not. Y'all know where we are, and if you go to our site, we have all the different ways you can like help us out and support us, and just go to lovingbdsm.net for basically everything. That's the announcement. Go to lovingbdsm.net for everything.
There you go.
There we go. So this week's topic is kind of a doozy because it's a huge topic. It's a massive topic, and I'm pretty sure we have talked about some of these things in small bits and pieces. And I use the term jealousy because that's a word everybody recognizes.
Sure.
But that's not actually what it is. So let's start from the top here in that this particular topic was suggested by Precious on Twitter. So hi, Precious on Twitter. I cannot remember your actual handle, but I remember your Precious. So, so that's what freaking matters. And in that original suggestion, it was really about how dominants deal with jealous submissives. But there's so much to the topic of jealousy and what it really means or what it can really mean that I wanted at least this topic to be broader. And if we ever feel like there's more we could say on that specific topic, then we can come back to it. But we'll definitely address that here. So thank you for that, because we're able to take that idea and just kind of expand it and say, oh, no, there's so many other things. Right. Now, while we're doing shout outs, I want to shout out, as I do quite frequently, Professor Sex at Professor Sex on Twitter, professorsex.com. If you want to check out our website, our friend Angel is amazing. And it is because of her that I now think of jealousy in different terms.
Me too.
And I can't remember what podcast she was on. It was not ours. We have not gotten that far yet. We're working on it. But she ended up having a conversation with somebody about insecurities. And what she said was, we say jealousy when we really mean that we're insecure. If you are jealous of somebody or something, then you are actually, it's an insecurity that you're feeling. True. And you need to explore that. And that's something that you have to work on. So we're using jealousy because we know everybody knows what that means, but really, we're mostly talking insecurities. I do want to do a potential content warning, and I only feel like we have to do this because of the direction the blog post took this week. So I thought I was going to write a blog post on insecurities and what they might look like in a DS relationship, and I thought it was going to be like really not lighthearted, but sort of a universal, oh, everybody's going to see themselves in this, and I think people on the most innocent end of the spectrum of insecurities would probably see themselves in that blog post, but it got deep very quickly. And we treaded quite lightly into conversations about emotional abuse. It is possible. We might talk about that here today. I don't really intend for it to happen, but once you start talking about the worst sides of people's insecurities and how they behave as a result, it's not hard to get into that conversation. So figure I'll warn you now.
It is a very fine line between.
It is. So if you're not in the mental space to handle any of that right now, and with what's going on in our national news as of the end of September 2018, I can see where people wouldn't be in the frame of mind to handle anything all that heavy. So we're time traveling here. So we don't actually know if we're going to mention emotional abuse or anything about abuse in this episode. True. But I'm hedging my bets here. And I figured it was safer to just say we might. And if you're not in the right frame of mind, this show will be here when you are. So
you could very easily get into a rant and just
kind of, gosh, yes. Yes.
You go.
And really, I want the freedom to rant.
Of course you do.
I want the freedom to rant. So let's first talk about that jealousy is not, we say jealousy, and that's like a, that's a bad catch-all term for what we really mean.
Yeah.
So I look at jealousy as two things that most of the time can be kind of separate, but really could, you can combine them into one, and it's envy and insecurity. Mm. Now, I think that if you feel envious, that is still a sign of some insecurity. But when we talk about insecurities in relationships, that's to me very clearly different than envy. So I wanted to start with envy.
All right.
Because most people are like, oh yeah, envy. I get that, that green-eyed monster thing, or that, oh, you really want or covet.
I want what they have.
Yes. And we experience that more frequently than I feel comfortable even admitting, by the amount of people who hashtag us relationship goals. And you know, it's funny, that's a level of envy that's usually very light and friendly, and it's nothing negative. But for some people, it is difficult to be around happy relationships when you're not in one. And that is a sense of envy. But I think that most people think of envy as something that, yeah, maybe you're single and just went through a breakup and it's hard for you to look at another relationship. Or you've been single for a while and you wish you were in a relationship and it's hard to watch happy couples. And I think that's the envy that most of us are familiar with. But envy occurs within the DS relationship, and I have been on both ends of it. I'm not too proud to admit that I have been envious of my own husband. And we've had these conversations. You're acting like you don't know we've had these conversations. So let's start with, I guess, the example of what I'm talking about in our situation. So it actually has happened on both ends. You've been envious of me, and I've been envious of you. Okay, true. Now that's human nature. It happens. It's not about whether you love each other, whether you like each other, whether you're really friends, or how committed you are. Envy happens to anybody and everybody. There come times in life when you look at what somebody else is doing or what they're experiencing, and you're like, ooh, I really wish that was me. I don't know how to make it happen. And sometimes you might feel a negative emotion instead of just sort of wistful about it. You're like, fuck, how do I get that? And why don't I have that? And it happens. I think it's a very human natural feeling. It's what you do about it that probably matters the most. So, example. I have a different type of work and a different work schedule to Joe Brownstone.
True.
Part of that is I'm 4 years into my freelance career and I'm I'm trying to build multiple things at once, because I'm not good at focusing, apparently. Brownstone is very new into his new career of making all of the wooden things. and you have a very good ability to focus. You do a thing at a time, and you get good at that thing, and you just focus on it. So at sort of peak busyness several months ago, and I have, thankfully, in the past couple months, gotten my act together, and I'm less worried about being busy, and I'm much more productive, and I do have downtime, and I do have free time again. But at the time, I had none of that. I was working from about 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I was taking breaks, you know, drop kids off somewhere, whatever. But basically 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, and I was a frazzled mess. And John Brownstone would work at a certain times inside the shop and at certain times at the computer. And then he had this time where he was sitting down and he was reading a book or watching TV or playing a game on his phone or whatever. And I got so envious. Now, I recognized it wasn't his fault. I didn't want him to not have that experience, you know, because that does happen. People get envy. And not only do you wish you had it yourself, sometimes we get that not so nice side of ourselves and we go, I wish they didn't get to do that. Why did they get to do that? I didn't feel that way. I would never want you to have been at that level of sort of busy and flustered. But I wanted what I was seeing for myself.
The solitaire effect.
It was a solitaire effect. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, it was a solitaire effect. I wanted to play solitaire too. And for a long time, and here's where envy can creep in and like make it not good for your DS relationship. I felt like I shouldn't say anything because it was such a small thing. And I didn't want to start an argument, and I didn't want to be that person who was envious over somebody's downtime because I, quote, couldn't have it for myself. So I didn't say anything. And here's what happens when you don't say something that you're upset about. Even if you think and you're telling yourself, I really shouldn't be upset about this, or this is a really silly thing to be upset about, it makes you angry and negative.
It compounds itself.
Absolutely. And so next thing you know, poor thing, he's over there, you know, existing. And I'm snapping and I'm cranky and I'm bursting only sometimes. But I was bursting into tears very easily and not wanting to talk. And it was negative. So the very first time I felt this, I did what most people do. When they feel a negative emotion that they are then convincing themselves they shouldn't be feeling, you're wrong for this, you will be ridiculed for this, this is petty, this is silly, all these things we tell ourselves, right? I was telling myself the same thing, that I was envious of my own husband because he got to sit still for a few minutes every day. So I didn't say anything. And I thought it went away. I was like, oh, I'm over it. Look at me, not caring. I'm in a different place. It's fine. Well, as with all things, when it came back up, because it was going to come back up, because there was going to be another day where I was really busy, or another week where I was, where I felt like I couldn't even breathe. I had so much going on.
Reared its ugly head again.
Exactly. And now it's worse because I'm still holding on to the envy from before that I haven't dealt with. And I've got it now. And I still have all those things in my head where I'm telling myself I shouldn't be feeling this way. Thankfully, that second time we talked about it. And here's the deal with talking about these envies, these small, sometimes big, sometimes they're really big envies. Yeah. We'll talk about that one in a second because I feel like that was kind of big. When you talk about it with your partner, there's probably very little they can do to fix it. Okay. Sometimes you want something, you're coveting something that somebody else has, some experience, some moment, some time, some whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing you have to get okay with in your own way, where you either accept what your reality is, or you try to change your reality so you can get that, or whatever it is you do, because it all depends on what you're envious about. And a lot of people will say, well, there's no point in talking about it because talking about it won't fix anything. And I used to subscribe to that method, and that method is for shit. Okay. All it does is breed resentment, because all we're doing is walking around, right, not talking about the things that matter to us.
The old, if I ignore it,
it'll go away
or fix itself.
Right. Yeah. Which of course is never true. No. So just by telling him. And so when I was telling him, I was trying to not feel like a shitty person who was jealous of somebody else's free time, because it sounds ridiculous even now. I kept saying, I don't want you to not have this, but I want this too. And I don't know how to get it. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And it's making me feel awful. And you know what? You did the best thing. You didn't try and fix it because you couldn't have.
I couldn't.
You just listened and you didn't judge. And that's the other part. So if you're the partner who's being told that your partner, your submissive or your dominant, is envious of something that you are experiencing or something you have, and it's bothering them, really, truly, probably the best thing you can do is to listen without judgment, because that's why we're not talking about it. We're waiting to be judged because we think, oh God, I'm being ridiculous. I shouldn't talk about this thing, until next thing you know, you're yelling or you're crying or you're freaking out over small things that aren't really about that small thing you're freaking out about. It's the stuff you're not talking about. So that's my example of envy, but I know it's happened on the other side, and I know specifically in one way, and I think in another way.
Okay.
So I might be loosing some secretive demons here when I go into this. So one, you told me straight up, when I went to Eroticon 2017 and I went to London the first time,
yes,
you were envious. And it was one of those things that, you know, in hindsight, knowing what I knew then, by the time I'd come through, we might have been able to make it work. We just didn't think we could. And maybe we were right. Maybe we couldn't. But
I think at that point, we probably couldn't have.
Probably not. But would I have bent myself over backwards and turned myself into a pretzel to try and make it happen?
Probably.
Yes, I would have. And so the fix for that was, one, to acknowledge it, to talk about it, to talk about how much we missed each other, and then to do our best to make sure that that's not the norm, that normally we will go together, if we go at all. But the other one, and it's a sense I have, and I don't, and so here's the thing about some envies. Sometimes you're a little envious, but it's not, it doesn't rise to the level of it bothering the hell out of you. It doesn't rise to the level of needing a heart-to-heart conversation. And I'm sure that has a little bit to do with emotional maturity. I'm getting better. Somebody else sitting next to me, definitely more emotionally mature than I am. And it goes back to business. So
okay.
I've been doing my business for 4 years. I've been a freelance writer for 4 years. I've learned a lot in that time. And I have pushed forward specifically to make more money. Like, that's the point. It's not to work more to make more money. It's to work at least like the same level and make more money. And there are methods and ways of that freelance life. Great. But I'm 4 years, 4 years in now. You are barely a year really into yours.
True.
And I know that there is, on some small level, or I believe I know, some envy about our income levels. Now, you're happy about our income level because we would be very much in the dark with no internet access. That's different.
True.
I know, appreciate the fact. I know you appreciate how hard I work, so that's cool. It's whatever. Oh, I don't need that pat on the back. But I also know that you appreciate on some levels the freedom to be able to go out and create without going, oh my God, if I don't sell this thing, we can't buy groceries. Like, that's a stressful thing, right? And the way I look at it is that when I became a freelance writer, I went from having a really decent paying job, a few $1,000s a month before taxes, you know, all that, but to $300 a month, that's what I made. And for the first time in my adult life, I was not the breadwinner and I was not the one bringing home money to pay the bills. And it like really fucked with my head. So
true.
I know that it fucks with your head. And I know there are times you're like, I would like to be earning kind of a better income than I earn. That would be nice. But it's one of those envies that I think you acknowledge, but you don't dwell.
No.
And that's the difference. Sometimes you can be envious. I get envious of people who have cute dresses. I don't want them to like not have cute dresses. I just have that fleeting thought of, oh, I wish I could do that. But I don't dwell on it. I move on. It's not something that breeds resentment.
I think in my case, is it something that I'm aware of? Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You know, let's face it. 2 years ago, if I wanted to go sit at the cigar bar.
You could.
I'll see you in an hour.
We're getting back to that.
I know.
Okay. Just
I know.
Putting that out there. He can go to the cigar bar.
And so yeah, there are certain things like that do. Yeah. Every once in a while, it's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But rather than, I look at it this way. Dwelling on it is not going to solve anything.
Yeah.
Dwelling on it is not going to make it better. What my way of working through it when I do feel that little twinge is, okay, well, what can I do to do better at what I'm doing?
Right.
You know, what new different things can I make? What can I do to promote myself?
And I think that's the difference. I think that's the part of envy we don't really talk about. We talk about the really negative stuff, and obviously there's a reason we talk about the really negative stuff, so we can grow and learn and avoid those negative things. But I bring all of this up to say that envy might not be the best emotion to feel, and there are times, it can make you feel really crappy, and it can lead to, you know, hurt feelings and tense moments, and yes, it can do all of that. But it's also a natural part of being in a relationship. You know, there was a day John Brownstone got to drive 2 hours away with no children and no me and go do a thing. Now, I didn't want to go do it. He was looking at wood or something. Came home with a big old box of it. Oh, no, okay.
Big old box of wood.
I was not interested in that. But as the one who stayed home with the kids, I had that twinge of, oh, wish I could like run away from home for the day. And yet, what? A month later, I ran away from home for a week.
Yeah.
But I think that if we pretend that those things don't happen And we can't joke about them when they're those light twinges that aren't affecting us negatively, but we acknowledge, yeah, you got to do a thing, and I kind of wish I could have done a thing, mm-hmm. and when can I go do a thing, right? And then when we talk about them when they do impact us in a negative way, it fosters more communication. It's much easier to say small hard things than it is to say big hard things. All the hard things have to be said at some point, or your relationship's going to stagnate and it's not going to go anywhere, and it potentially is just going to crumble. But if you need practice for how to have the hard conversations, start with the small hard conversations. Admit that you're like, well, you got the last freaking bit of chocolate ice cream and I wanted the chocolate ice cream, and now when am I going to get chocolate? You sound like you're 3. I get it. But it's an honest conversation. It's a moment where you...
Baby girl.
I know, right? Okay, so maybe I'm the only one bitching about that. The one who can't eat ice cream anymore, but whatever. But when you can have those small conversations and kind of make yourself look a little silly and sort of recognize that, oh, yeah, that was not my best moment right there. It fosters this open communication where anything can be said. And all of that's practice. We have talked about that a million times, at least 147 other times. Communication is practice. And
it is. Like,
and it feels a little bit like bearing your soul when you say that hard thing and you admit that you're envious, especially when your brain is telling you you're not supposed to be envious over this. This is silly. What are you doing? It's just part of human nature. And I have found that the more we can talk about it, the less envious I feel, because I'm also a little mercenary. So if he's getting a thing, I don't feel envious. I go, when am I getting my thing? You can have your thing. Go. Drive 2 hours away. Go play with wood all day. I don't care. When am I getting my thing? That is definitely the baby girl talking.
Yeah.
It's definitely the baby girl talking.
Oh, yeah.
So that's envy. Do you have other thoughts on envy before I move into the heavy, heavy topic of insecurity?
Let's dive into the deep end.
So insecurity is... really the way I think of jealousy now. Thank you, Professor Sex. Because if you think about those moments, especially in a relationship, and not just romantic, not just sexual, any relationship you have with other people where you feel jealous and the word you use is that you're jealous.
Mm-hmm.
The way Professor Sex said it in that conversation is actually what you need to do is identify what you're feeling. Like, what is the actual emotion? Jealousy is just a catch-all. What are you feeling? So let's take the example that prompted this whole discussion and jealous submissives. Now, this happens in different ways. Sometimes it's jealous submissives in open or poly or non-monogamous relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just jealous submissives who really don't like their dom talking to other people, other submissives in any situation. So if you're in that situation where you would classify yourself as a jealous submissive and you don't like something going that your dominant is doing and it makes you feel jealous, actually, what are you feeling? Is it that you're worried that they'll find somebody better than you? And I have heard that from many submissives.
I think that's probably the...
It usually is.
The top concern.
Right. Is it that you think they'll find somebody better than you, somebody, a better submissive, or that there is a better submissive than you, or that they'll change their mind? I mean, I know my insecurities used to lead to me thinking that I pretty much was ready for John Brownstone to go, yeah, you are way too much work. I'm out of here. Because that was, for podcast listeners, he just wiped his brow, all that sweat from all that hard work. I am hard work. I know I'm hard work. But that used to really bother me. And it took me a long time and a lot of affirmations from you, quite frankly, to realize that if I'm hard work to somebody and they don't want to do that hard work, please tell me in the first 5 minutes we've met, because you've just saved me a lot of time and a lot of energy. You know, I want the person
That's absolutely true, because, you know, this is digressing from the topic just a little bit, but, you know, here, so many S types that, you know, I'm too needy, or he told me I'm too needy, I'm too much work.
I'm too much. How many of us have said I'm too much? I've said it.
You know what? I call bullshit.
You're not too much for the right person. But see, that's the thing. Think about it. That could easily be your insecurity. And so if that's the thing you're thinking, and the next thing you know, they went to, especially this happens a lot in long distance relationships, But it can absolutely happen when you're living together, you're married, you're whatever, you're in the same town at least. You know, some people can't handle it when their partner goes to a munch without them and has conversations.
Right.
Other people want to, or they tell themselves they want to, and we all have our own reasonings for this, that maybe they want to try a poly relationship, or they want to be open, or that they're comfortable with it and they're okay with it until the reality hits and their partner, and this is dom or sub, I'm using the example of submissive because of all the conversations I've had with submissives, but they tell themselves, I can be okay with this, I can be okay with this, and then their partner is talking to somebody else, and then they realize, I am not okay with this. Mm-hmm. Now, you get to not be okay with things like that, okay? It is always, always about consent. But when the feeling that you're naming is jealousy, I say let's take Professor Sex's advice and rename it what it actually is. Let's identify what you're feeling. It's not just, jealousy is a very blanket statement that can mean almost anything. And typically it means insecurity. It means you are worried about something. You are worried you're going to lose them. You're worried you're not going to be the best. You're worried you're going to be replaced. You're worried, you're worried, you're worried. And quite frankly, it can happen to dominance. Maybe it happens in different ways. Maybe it's in different circumstances. But dominance can get insecure and feel insecure about their position in the relationship.
Absolutely.
Have you ever felt insecure? Not envious, not earlier, but insecure.
Insecure?
In DS, I mean, we have all felt insecure at some point in life, y'all.
Oh, absolutely. Especially in the beginning of a DS relationship, because you always have this, at least me, I've felt before, you know, am I going to be enough? Am I going to, you know, do this right for them kind of thing? So, yeah, it happens. Absolutely.
And I think most of us are feeling insecure at the very beginning of a relationship, and as we go through a relationship, and you and I have had these conversations, we did an entire episode on bad tapes. Mm-hmm. A lot of those insecurities come directly from bad tapes. They come directly from those past experiences. Sure. All it took was a couple of guys telling me that I was too much to handle, and it was too much, and I was too intense, and I was too this and too that, and man, that stuck in my head. And I then assumed that everybody was going to think I was too much. Now, like I said a few minutes ago, what I've learned is, I want you to figure out in about 5 seconds that I'm going to be too much for you, because you have just saved us both a lot of time and a lot of heartache. And I'm at a position and a point in my life and a comfort level, thanks to the love of a good partner, that I'm proud of being too much, because only certain people are going to be able to handle me. And I only want to be with the people who can handle me in that sense, be with, like, I can be friends with people who can't handle me. That's fine. I can modulate this. Okay? I've learned how to modulate this. But in a relationship where there's some part of us giving some part of ourselves to somebody else, no, let's figure this out in 5 seconds. My feelings aren't hurt by this. It's okay. It's okay to say, ooh, I do find it hilarious, the creepy wannabes that slide into my DMs and try to tell me that they could handle me. No, baby, you couldn't. If you have to slide into my DMs, you could not. And I will make you feel insecure in about 5 seconds of us trying to do that. I would go, ooh, challenge accepted. No, I would not. So that's the first thing. If you're feeling jealous, if that's the word you're using, and you're in a situation, okay, it's to pause and go, whoa, why do I feel this way? What is it that I'm afraid of? Because jealousy is fear. That's where insecurity comes from. Insecurity is fear. You are afraid of something. And sometimes it's not an easy answer. Sometimes it's not something that you're consciously aware of. You just know you have this feeling. And that's, to me, a time when it's time to go deep into your own head and become introspective. We've not been introspective up to this point. I think that's a life skill we all need more of. Okay, maybe I've said this before, you don't need to be in your head quite as much as I am. I'm not saying it's healthy to live in there all the time, but a certain amount of introspection is needed, because you can't grow as a person until you have some clue of who you are as a person.
Well, you know, fear, that's such a powerful word. Mm-hmm. Even as an emotion, fear is so strong. It's, you know, let's face it, it can immobilize a person.
Or it can make us do really stupid
things. But you know what? I've said this for a long time, even you know, fear is valid. Fear is our checks and balances, in a sense. And fear in and of itself, just like anger, is a valid emotion.
Right. It by itself is not an awful thing.
No. What I have always felt, what I have always believed, it is okay to feel fear. It is okay to experience fear. Do not let the fear rule you.
Right. It's what you do. The actions are what matter. It's what you do with it. Most. Okay. So if you're afraid and you're calling it jealousy, you're calling it insecurity, mm-hmm. you're looking at your relationship and going, oh my gosh, they're going to leave me because, and you've got this laundry list of things. It's what you do next that matters. So let's go back to the blog post that we put up this week. And it was about unhealthy insecurities. And that's where, I mean, I like wrestled with the title of that damn thing for 20 minutes. Cause I was like, this is not the light article I thought it was going to be. And the reason it got so dark so fast is because the insecurities are common. We all have insecurities. But how do we behave? What do we do? And some people, when they are afraid, when they are insecure, whether it's bad tapes or what it might be.
Bad tapes are a bitch.
Bad tapes are a bitch. We will link to that episode in the show notes if you have not had a chance to hear it yet. You might not call it that. That might not be the term used. It's just the term we use. But it might explain a lot about who you are once you understand your bad tapes. But it's how we behave. And I got into a conversation very early this morning, I think before either of us had had coffee, on Twitter. And I say this morning, Thursday morning as we're recording, with Lil Panda about... abuse and narcissism and insecurities. And she ended up saying they're still, even when they're doing abusive things, at some level they are insecure. And that's where some of this comes from. So the things in that blog post were things like trying to control where you go, trying to change the rules of your DS mm-hmm. and a control, like specifically to dominance. A dominant that says, okay, you've negotiated your power exchange. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're not going to do. This is how it's going to work. And next thing you know, you've got a dominant who's trying to assert way more control than you agreed to. Now, that can happen for a lot of reasons, but one of them is absolutely some level of insecurity. Either insecurity in themselves is a dominant. They don't think that if they think if they don't exert more control that somehow they're not dominant enough. That's a fear they might have. It might also be a fear that you're, as they're submissive, somehow doing things they don't approve of, or that they are supposed to, like, it could be anything and everything, but the action is what matters. And so the first time somebody does it, you could maybe go, whoa, excuse me, no, this is not what we negotiated. This is not what we consented to. And if they apologize and back off and improve their behavior, you go, maybe that was a one-off. Maybe. But if it's something that they persistently do, even as they're apologizing, even as they tell you what their bad tapes are, even as they tell you why, like, I can be sympathetic to the why, but I'm not going to give two shits about your fucking why if I tell you something is a problem the first time and then you persist in doing it. Mm-hmm. At that point, your insecurities are impacting your partner in really negative, really harmful, really dangerous ways. And so now you, with your insecurities, you are not sympathetic to me. It's what you're doing to the other person. So that's where the actions really make a difference. So if you are feeling insecure and you realize you're doing things that even what you're trying to do is to fix the insecurity, right? You're trying to minimize your feelings of fear. You're trying to control the situation. You're trying to make it better. You're trying to prevent the thing you fear most in a lot of relationships. That's losing the other person. I have found, and I think this is maybe one of those few universal truths to life, the tighter you hold on to something, the more you try to control the outcome, the more likely
it is. You're going to lose control.
You're going to lose control, but you're going to make the outcome you were fearful of happen that much faster. Like, live through your insecurities and only act on your insecurities, and all of the things you are afraid will happen are going to happen.
There's a term for that, and I can't remember. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, exactly.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
So let's go back to the not as triggering, sorry, y'all, example of the submissive who's afraid of losing their dom. They're jealous of whatever it is about their dominant. They don't want them to have other partners. They don't want this or they don't want that. The tighter you hold on to your partner, the more you demand to know where they've been. You are constantly checking up on them. You are sneaking around and looking at personal things that you don't have their consent to look at. Those kinds of things. Mm. The quicker you are going to be, because eventually you're going to get found out or you're going to tell on yourself.
Yeah.
You might be killing that relationship when what you could do is just have a conversation and say, it might be because of this bad tape. It might be because of this bad relationship. It might be because of some actions I'm seeing on your part. And I could really use an explanation here, but this is how I'm feeling. And this is what I'm afraid of. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes those fears we have, those insecurities, is our instinct telling us something's not right. And I say that as somebody who has way too many conversations with kinksters, usually submissives, but not always, who get entangled with some kinkster online. Usually it's online. Maybe they're married. Maybe they're not. Maybe they've only told you part of who they are, but not really everything. Maybe they're making demands on you and you've barely said hi to them, right? Mm. Those people, when your like insecurities start kicking in, you're like, I'm going to lose them. Oh my gosh, I'm going to lose them. And there's some shady shit going on. That's probably your instinct. That's not jealousy in the way we normally think of it. And some of those people, because they're predators, they're gaslighting you. They're going to tell you, oh, no, you're,
oh, God, yes.
You, that's not really what happened. Or, oh, you've misinterpreted or you've misunderstood, right? Those kinds of situations, what I hate about those is you're going to walk away from that with probably way more bad tapes than you had before. And now you've got some insecurities based on exactly what has happened to you. If your instinct is screaming at you that something's wrong, even if you're wrong or whether you're right, the only way to really start that process is to have a conversation about it,
right?
And then gauge their response. Now, when you're insecure and you're in a relatively healthy relationship, but your own bad tapes are clouding your judgment, and I think we've all been there. How long did I make you wait before I was willing to say we were actually in a relationship? Months?
Oh,
lots and lots of time?
An eternity.
Oh, stop. and that was, he was a decent human being. He was not doing anything that was making my spidey senses tingle. He was doing everything right. And I was in that mode of, this is too good to be true. This can't possibly be real. Mm-hmm. And so, poor thing, he was getting the full gale force, hurricane force, winds of my insecurity. There were many nights of me crying because I was, he's going to leave me. And why would he love me? Because nobody loves me and everybody leaves me and all of my insecurities.
And I was hunkered down.
You had lots of batteries and water. Like maybe you've gone through a few of these before. And it, when you're in the middle of that storm of those fears and that insecurity and your bad tapes are screaming at you and everything that's ever happened to you in the past is screaming at you and you're reacting to that, it's very hard to see the person in front of you.
I mean, I think it's, you know, talking about the gut feelings and the insecurity. There's a very fine line between the two. I have learned throughout my life, you know, trust my gut. Every time I have not trusted my gut feelings, it has ended badly. But you know, telling the two apart, the, you know, is this insecurity? Is this a true gut feeling? You know, you need to have a conversation with the other person, but you need to also do some serious introspection and kind of look inside yourself, you know, what really is going on here? What is the root of all this?
Right.
You know? What is the cause of this feeling?
Right. You know, where do I think it's coming from?
Where do you
from?
Think it's coming from? You know, you kind of need to have, you know, not only the conversation with your partner, but the conversation with yourself.
Yes. And sometimes, and I think this is what's hard for some of us to move forward. We know we feel a way and we think we maybe know where it comes from. Maybe we know it's bad tape, or we can pinpoint an action from our partner and say, you did this thing. And it reminded me of this moment, this bad tape in my life. Right. But we can't fully explain the feeling in really logical terms. Some of us, and I am sometimes this way, will decide that since we can't clearly explain it with charts and graphs, like we're on the stand at trial, right? That it's somehow not a valid emotion. It's not coming from a valid place and we shouldn't think about it, work on it, talk about it, worry about it. It's us being silly. It's us being emotional. It's, I mean, whatever term you want to use, it's something about us. And in, to me, one of the best litmus tests of any relationship is communication. So what I mean by that is if I have a hard topic that I need to bring up to my partner, Tom Brownstone in this case, how do they react when I bring it up? Now, there's some caveats here. I have to make sure they're in a space where they can hear me and are willing to hear me, right? So if they're having some awful moment, I probably should not, you know, drop a bomb in their lap of information and go, oh, we have this thing we have to deal with, right?
Timing is everything.
Timing is everything. But, and this is part of, I think we did an episode on trust issues, building trust. We did an episode on building trust where I talked about my own trust issues and they're litmus tests. So first, if I have something big and serious, I need to talk about like my insecurities, like I'm feeling insecure and I'm afraid and something doesn't feel right. And we need to talk about it. My first litmus test is, are you going to make time for me to tell you something important to me? I'm going to say, I have something really big on my mind. I really want to talk about it. It's sort of bothering me. I want to get your feedback. I want to, you know, can we make time? Like, I'm going to try and be the reasonable human being and say, you got a few minutes. And if the other person won't even find time for me or will claim to find time, we'll talk here and keeps putting me off. That's the first test right there. Can you make time to listen to me? If you're not making time to listen to me, I feel like some of my fears might be validated at this point, right? Okay. So they've made the time. And here's the thing. Communication, both talking and listening, is a skill.
Yeah.
Your partner might not be perfect at this. It is not about being perfect. It's about the willingness to try. Okay. So I've been given the time to talk and I'm working up to it and it's hard and I'm stumbling over my words and I can't quite say it the way I want to say it. And I might not even be making sense. Is my partner still here listening to me?
Huh?
Or stop. Or are they rushing me through? Are they not letting me get a word in edgewise? Did I say one thing and they immediately blew up and came back at me and got really defensive? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's an awful relationship, but it's a sign of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe some of your fears are valid. They might still be able to be worked on. You might be able to work it out. You might both be able to grow together. But maybe it's not an unfounded fear. Maybe it's a fear based on what you're experiencing and your conscious mind isn't able to explain this insecurity. But if they do listen and they might be firm, especially if you're talking about a submissive talking to a dominant, they might be firm with you. They might disagree. They might disagree with you and say, well, that's not how I'm seeing this situation at all. But they're willing to listen and they're willing to hear you out and they're not making you feel bad or awful. Well, then your insecurity might have very little to do with the relationship. And it might have to do with something more internal. And even that's not a perfect test, but it's still a test. Like if I need to know, am I really being insecure because my partner is giving off vibes? Or is this the crap in my head that I still have to deal with and I'm a grown-ass adult and I'm trying to figure this shit out? That's one of my tests. You know, do I have a person who's at least, poor John Brownstone, he has heard all the things in my head. And I have found that when I really don't understand what I am going through and what I'm thinking, he really does not understand. Like if I can't make it clear, how the fuck is he supposed to know? But you know what? You have always listened.
Yeah.
Even when you were like, what is she saying? I don't know what any of this means.
Yeah.
Still listens.
And that's a big part of it because, you know, this was something hard for me to learn for a long time because I have always been a fixer.
Okay? Me too.
All right. If it ain't working, we need to fix it somehow, some way. And what I've learned over the years, not everything is meant to be fixed. Sometimes it's just a matter of sitting there listening, being a sympathetic ear. You know, yeah, I understand your feelings. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry this is happening.
Here, let's cuddle.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, not everything can be fixed, but being there in that moment,
and that
is all that's really necessary. Sometimes,
and those moments can be moments of growth. Like you didn't walk away from that with your feeling better. Maybe you do feel a little bit better because you got it out and you were able to say, "I'm insecure, and I've been behaving this way because I feel this way." And I think it's because of this thing that happened, you know, two relationships ago or something. Just knowing that you were heard and that your partner respected you enough and cared enough about you to listen without judgment. And
that can go a long way.
That's huge. Which is why when you have a partner that dismisses you or won't do that, and I don't, like, that's a problem. And sometimes that's a problem that they need to educate themselves. They're not bad people. They're just, they don't know yet. And sometimes it goes back to, your insecurities might be founded. I don't know. Now, there are some things that people get insecure about in their relationship, and they convince themselves they're the problem because they're feeling insecure. Mm. And how do they fix this? And I'm going to give very concrete examples because of conversations I've had. And this is not all of the things it could be. Okay. These are just examples based on experiences. The biggest one is when both people are like, yeah, let's try this open relationship thing. You can have other partners if you want, and maybe I'll have them, maybe I won't, I don't know, but sure, we can do this. And you, the person feeling jealous, feeling insecure, are watching your partner, and that's dom or sub, meet another person, talk to another person, have a good time with another person, and everything that's ugly about jealousy rears up in you.
Yep.
Like, whoa, no. Okay. Y'all, I have joked too many times about cutting a bitch. To the point I scared a couple of listeners and they were afraid to talk to John Ralston. I am not going to cut a bitch. I have a philosophy now about that specific insecurity that is unique to me in the sense that is my philosophy. So I'm not saying everybody has to feel the way I feel. But the way I feel, and I've said this before, is that if our relationship is so tenuous that he could go have a conversation with another person and decide he doesn't want to be with me anymore, that relationship is not meant to be. And as much as that's going to hurt and that's going to suck, I just can't worry about that kind of stuff. Our relationship is what it is, and it is as strong as we believe it is. And I don't know how I would react, or I know it would break my heart, but I can't sit around worrying that he's going to go somewhere and meet somebody and like them better. Okay. And I think that comes with time. That comes with a lot of years of us being together and our relationship being very solid and there being a lot of trust established. And some of those things aren't going to go away without time. But sometimes you're also willing to try something like an open relationship, either because you want to be that person who can do that, or because you really truly thought, I can do this, I can be okay with this. And what you learn is you are not cut out for this. Not everybody is. And that is that specific example because it happens so frequently. Not everybody is cut out for that, but they somehow feel like if they say something, that means that they somehow disapprove of open relationships or polyamory, or that they're not okay with it. You can be okay with it as a concept and not okay with it for yourself.
Right.
So when you discover a fear, an insecurity based on a thing you said, I think we can do this in our relationship. I think I'm okay with this. And that is just one example. It could be anything. It could be you decided to try a kink. It could be you decided to scene a certain way or to do a certain kind of scene. It can be anything in your relationship. And you try it, and the moment you do, something rears up, and you go, oh, no, I don't like this feeling. I'm not myself. I'm afraid. I'm insecure. I'm worried. Those are all the words that get used. We say jealous when what we really mean is a lot of other things. And sometimes we don't even say jealous. Like, I'm not jealous if you're beating my ass. I'm scared fucking shitless. Like I'm worried, right? You have every right to speak up, to renegotiate, to withdraw your consent. Certain things you don't have to toughen up over and get over your insecurities. Some things maybe one day you will. maybe in a year from now, you're in a better place in your relationship. You've overcome some bad tapes and you're okay with opening up your relationship. But maybe not. Maybe you're not wired that way. So,
and you know, even so, if you are moving in that direction and, you know, it took us a better part of a year for us just talking about it.
Oh, sure. Because I was still, I'll cut a bitch. I was still there. I was there for a long time.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Don't touch my daddy. That was how I felt.
I'm taking sharp objects away from you.
I don't feel that way anymore, but I did. Yeah. I was definitely
But
that.
The point I was trying to make is, you know, in that time, we talked about it. You know, any questions that came up in our mind, we discussed. Even when we did start moving in that direction, there were things that happened. Okay, so there were times.
There's some ground rules.
Ground rule, absolutely ground rules. But then, you know, sometimes,
we had that in our threesome.
Yeah.
We had a moment. I think we talked about it in the poly episode. Mm-hmm. We had a moment in the middle of the threesome where I went, I am not okay with this. Now, it helped that I was in a good enough place with myself that I could immediately speak up and say, mm-hmm. I'm not okay with this. We have to fix this. I don't know right. why I feel this way, but it is really bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And we dealt with it. And we dealt with it. Actually, the three of us together dealt with it.
Yeah.
And we set a ground rule that worked, that alleviated that feeling I had.
Yes.
And in that specific situation, we were able to move forward.
Right.
But in other situations, If the feeling you're having is, I can't handle this. This is sparking my jealousy. This is sparking my insecurities. I am not ready for this. You do have every right to say that. Now, here's the outcome of that.
Of course, yeah.
Here's the outcome of that, though. In this specific instance, where it's an open relationship, poly, non-monogamy kind of thing, there could be ramifications of that. And what I mean is, it is very possible that your partner needs this in their life and they are now very attached to this other person. And I'm not saying this to guilt trip you, because I don't want that either. I want you to live and speak your truth, but your partner has to live and speak their truth
as well.
And sometimes that means that it's no longer a compatible relationship. So that the way I would look at that is, before I would go into anything that could seriously trigger that level of insecurity, relationship worry, I would go very slowly, because it is possible to get to a point where there's, in a sense, there's no going back. And what I mean is, you can withdraw your consent anytime you want, but there might be outcomes you don't want to have to, that are unpleasant, that you're going to have to face. Now, that is the nature of life. And the moment you start getting people and their emotions involved, you can't predict anything that happens.
True.
But if you're sitting right now today having the conversation with your partner of, well, are we interested in opening up our relationship? Do we want to do that? That's not something I would jump into. That's something I would ease my way into, especially if you're new to it. And it's not something I would do just because it makes your partner happy. So in the sense that I want John Brownstone to be happy, but if the idea, if I know the moment we have the conversation that the idea of him being with anybody else is going to make me just lose my shit, then now is not the time for that. And I can't predict when will be the time for that, but now is not the time for this relationship that I'm in with that person for this thing to happen. But you can't pretend your way through that, and you can't fake your way through that.
No.
You have to be open and honest and say, you are asking for an open relationship. I don't think I can handle that right now. How do we work this out between the two of us? And you go from there, and you have to be brutally honest. You have to be brutally honest first with yourself. Then you have to be brutally honest with your partner. And if you do make that leap and you realize, whoa, I'm having problems here, then you immediately start communicating and you immediately start working through it. And sometimes it really is a matter of old bad tapes, insecurities, you're very worried, and you haven't learned how to deal with that yet, and you don't have the confidence yet, and there's all these other things that could be in your relationship, and you can work through it, and you can end up with a perfectly happy, healthy relationship where maybe you're monogamous, but your partner's poly, and it works for y'all. And we know a lot of people like, on some levels right now, that is us right now. I mean, I'm not monogamous by, like, I'm not saying I can only ever be monogamous. I'm just really a really hard nut to crack. but that's, we have found what works for us.
Right.
But I guess my whole rambling point is that you might think you're okay with something, and then you start doing it, and then you realize that you have those jealous feelings, you have those insecure feelings, you are terrified, you are worried, bad tapes are screaming in your head. You have to speak up, you have to say right. something, and you do have the right to withdraw your consent and say, I'm not okay with this anymore. Mm-hmm. The reality is that your partner is going to have whatever reaction they have when that happens. And yes, that does mean sometimes it's the end of a relationship. But here's what I would tell you for those people out there who are now worried they're about to lose a relationship. Do you want to be in a relationship with somebody you are not compatible with? Like, if you are strictly monogamous, like, that is the only thing that's going to make you happy, right? Maybe you know that now. Maybe you don't know that now. And the person you're with right now cannot be happy if they're monogamous. They are only happy when they have this going on or that going on. Are you going to make each other happy long term? One of you has to give up something about yourself in order to make that kind of scenario work. That's a real part of this, and not every relationship lasts. I know the listeners out there who've been through breakups are like, yep, not every relationship lasts, and they suck when they end, and they suck when they end, whether they're vanilla or they're kinky. But ask any kingster, there is something on either side of the slash. There's something about a DS breakup. I have never felt like that kind of pain.
Yeah.
In a vanilla.
Oh yeah, I agree.
I mean, I'm sure somebody out there has. I have not. Like, that is the worst type of breakup, is a DS breakup.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all.
Right. So I don't want anybody out there going, oh, well, I can't speak of my insecurity because then we might break up. No. That's not the message.
No.
That's not the message. You have to talk about it, because sometimes the things we tell ourselves aren't always real. Okay. Sometimes we lie to ourselves. Our bad tapes will lie to us. Our insecure brains will lie to us. We will make ourselves believe things that are not true about ourselves, about other people. You can't clear the air and start finding out the truth until you start talking about it.
Right.
Until you like lay it out and go, look, we're doing this thing. You are doing this thing over here, and it's scaring the hell out of me. Right. And I'm jealous, and I don't want to be jealous. And the other thing Professor Sex said in that conversation, man, that conversation's like a year old, I think, and it really stuck
with you a little bit, didn't it?
Is that what we end up doing when we say we're jealous? I'm jealous of you. I'm jealous of that thing. We are putting our emotions on the other person, making them responsible for it. And that's not how it's supposed to be. They might do things that upset us. Their actions may upset us, but the way we feel about things, especially when we're talking about insecurity and jealousy, that's about us. That's about how we are reacting to that situation. They did the thing that they did, but only we control how we react. Some of those things you don't feel like you're controlling because they're innate. You've been doing them so long, they feel natural. Well, through a lot of time and a lot of effort, you can retrain a lot of those sorts of habits and behaviors. And those ways of thinking, that is the whole purpose of therapy. cognitive behavioral therapy. I would say CBT, but some kingster out there would be like, what are we doing with cock and balls? No, you're not talking about that. Therapy, where you kind of retrain your brain, okay? But, so if you have spent most of your life saying, you know, telling everybody, including yourself, I'm a jealous person, and I know I'm a jealous person, that's definitely probably a habit you've learned. That's definitely something that probably feels quite natural now. It's how you all, quote, are. You can change that and shift that. It takes a long time. It takes the right patient person to help you. Sometimes it takes professional help, quite frankly. If you have a lot of bad tapes, and all of us have some bad tapes. We've all had some relationship.
One way or another,
something. But some of us have really, really bad tapes, and they fuck us up all the time, especially in relationships. You can't forget them. We have talked about writing over them. Somebody disagreed with me. I think I was on Fat Life, might have been on the blog. They were like, no, they're always there with you. And oh yeah, they're always there with you. Mm-hmm. But I like to think of writing over them in the sense of that thing happened. And now in my conscious mind that I'm consciously thinking of, I'm going to think about what's happening now.
It's like
I'm going to replace it with good tapes.
Yeah. It's like a bad habit, you know, you can replace it.
You can't. You don't forget that the old, the bad happened.
No.
But you replace it with something new and right. something better. And those things take time too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to jealousy and insecurity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It hits us all in different ways. The common examples we've given are the ones that the most amount of people talk to us about. But jealousy can hit with almost anything. I mean, I know from observation that there have been dominants who maybe they lost their job, right? Maybe they got forced out of a job, early retirement, laid off, company went belly up, and they see they're happy for their submissive who's thriving in their career or making money, but they are also envious, right? Or they're insecure. Oh, I'm not earning money. I'm not doing my part anymore. I'm not whatever you thought you were before, right? And now your partner is, you know, having a good time and they're going on these business trips. Oh my gosh, my first marriage, and that was quite vanilla, but I had to deal with a lot of that kind of insecurity over you're going on these business trips, you earn a decent living, you have a good career, I know you're going to find somebody better than me. And I had to deal with that level of insecurity for a couple of years before we divorced. But wait, no, maybe that's not a good example, but that kind of, so it's not, and those are usually about the gender roles too.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a heteronormative cisgender relationship, male dom, female submissive, some of that can play a part. And we got to get over that shit, quite frankly. We need to disrupt the gender norms on a huge level. I mean, I think kinksters in general, many of us already do. I mean, good God, the amount of you know, femdoms that we know and transgender people in kink and just the LGBTQ community in kink. Holy shit. Like, so some of us who are stuck in, like, cause we are, you know, hetero and cis and, you know, male dom, female sub, we now need to take care of our shit and get out of those gender roles.
Yeah.
Where male doms worry that they don't earn enough money or that they're not somehow, you know, manly enough or whatever the fuck that's about, because that breeds its own level of insecurity.
Right.
And then we're all dealing with that. So yeah, it's a big topic. I'm not going to pretend we covered it all.
No,
we can't. None of y'all want to, well, some of y'all would listen to us for 2 hours, but we are not recording for 2 hours.
No.
I know we didn't touch on it all. I would love, we are constantly looking for contributors to livingbdsm.net. We have several lined up. Right now we only do one a month. I'm actually hoping in the new year, if we can bump that up,
because
income has been good. So let's spread the love and the wealth. But for those of you who have experienced these kinds of things, any topic we talk about, but especially this one, because it is such a huge topic that affects so many layers of relationships and in DS and out of DS and life and kink and all of that. If you've got you feel like you've got a unique perspective on it, especially people of color, LGBTQ, those kinds of things that are not heteronormative and not white and what we see most often. Feel free to contact us. We have a link on our website, Write for Us, where you can read our guidelines and you can pitch us articles. And yes, any topic we do, please feel free to do that. But definitely on this one, because it is such a big topic.
Yes.
And especially if you have a very unique perspective or feel like you have a unique perspective on how to deal with those insecurities, or whether in yourself or in your partner. So there is that. I am being rushed to get off of this recording. I love you, Daddy. We do have a bonus section, but we will keep it short for anybody who wants to stick around for that.
Okay.
So are we good?
We good.
I think so. Maybe.
Right.
I could keep going.
I know you could.
But I won't.
No. I have 30 minutes before I have to leave, so. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. Yeah. Can I talk?
Yes, you can talk.
Well, it is fairly short. We have no mail. We might have mail. I didn't check mail on Thursday, so if we have mail, we'll talk about it in the next episode.
Okay.
Some of what I would normally talk about, we're going to record for our patron-only Patreon bonus section episode. Oh, mm-hmm. You should not let me name anything. I'm glad you're wearing pants because you're getting up in front of the camera.
Yes.
He wasn't wearing a shirt before, but he was at least wearing pants. I'm not wearing what you would call pants, so I'm not going to stand up. We're just getting to the end of the month and about to start a new month. October is my birthday month. It is also the month of our wedding anniversary, so we'll be celebrating 1 year married October 28th. And then 2 days later, we'll be celebrating my birthday, which is clearly the more important event of the whole month. For people who ask, no, I don't celebrate Halloween. I could give two shits about Halloween. I just want the candy corn, and I can't even eat candy corn anymore. So, no, I don't care about Halloween. I never have. My birthday was always more important. I'm an only child, if you can't tell. And I could continue rambling, and I might, until he comes back. I don't know if he's got anything he wants to talk about. I've been working. He's been working. We've been working. That's about it. Yeah. I'm very grateful that after last week's conversation with the oldest about, you know, what is BDSM, we have not had any more conversations like that, which is good. I don't think I could handle having those conversations all the time. For those of you who either aren't parents or parents of really young ones and haven't gotten to that stage, in my experience, the questions are few and far between. They're not like they all come at once and then it's like 6 months of it's relatively quiet. And I tend to have to force the conversation. Like there's a thing I feel like they need to know. And I just have to say, okay, we're going to talk about this thing. And now they're both kids are afraid to make penis jokes at the dinner table because I turn those into teaching moments. So I feel like that's a win because I have less penis jokes at the dinner table.
Yes.
So it works.
Oh, yeah.
It does work. So I was just rambling because I didn't really have anything to say, but I didn't know if you had anything to say.
Not really.
It's been a nice calm week.
It has. Yeah. I'm ready for September to be over though.
Oh, yeah. September on floor. So we're watching people around the world and certainly even around the country go, ooh, it's a little nippy outside. It's a little chilly. And we're over here sweating.
This way.
Sweating through my fucking shirt, y'all.
Climbed in the car yesterday, the day before, was 106.
Yeah. Fucking hot. Mm-hmm. The humidity though is starting to go down a little bit.
Yes, it is.
So it's just
there hot. has been that. But yeah, it's just been hot. I'm ready for towards end of September, but still feels like the dog days of summer.
But at least we don't live any further south than we do.
True. Because
that means it's hotter.
Yes.
So and where we're moving next year. It's hot in the summer because there's no ocean breeze or gulf breeze, which is very sad to me. But they get seasons. So we'll get a winter.
I've been looking at the weather.
I'm going to have to wear a jacket.
Yeah.
That's going to be weird.
They're already getting cooler temps at night.
Yeah, I don't rub it in.
I know.
So that's us this week.
That's it.
If you have not checked us out on Patreon, feel free. $1 a month pledge gets you access to all the content. We do special things if you do more per month, but no matter what level on Patreon, you can get the content. So $1 a month. And it all goes towards helping us do the things we do and pay contributors and get to London next year and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we should say goodbye so we can go do that.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank
Love you.
Love you.
I have that script too.